Readings taken from Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 to 12. And it's on page 1107, 1107 of the Pew Bibles. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Welcome. I'll extend my welcome. I'm Ben. I'm a trainee vicar here in Lutterworth. So if I'm making mistakes, I'm in training. So it's fine, right? Now, I don't know if you come to church regularly, if you have come into a church building for the first time in a long time, but either way, you're welcome. But normally, when we begin a sermon, the person talking likes to try and hook you in with something spectacular to get your attention. And I was hoping to do this by showing you some pictures of my recent Cypriot holiday. Those pictures. So there's no hook, and you don't get to see me in my Speedos, which actually we should probably be thankful for. But today, we are going to turn to Acts 13. So if you have got your Bible open, please do turn to it. It actually comes from the text. But if not, I'm going to have some aids on the screen because we're going to be looking at this phrase, God acts by his Spirit. God acts by his Spirit. And the first thing I want you to notice is that it's always God that does the action in this passage. It's always God that takes the initiative and achieves his will. He is the one who has the power to do something. But the amazing thing is that he uses humans. People like me and you. People like Barnabas and Paul, who we've heard about. Human agents to achieve what he wants to achieve. So that's the first thing I want you to notice. God acts by his Spirit through humans. The next thing is, we're in this church in Antioch. They've probably been a church now for about a year, year and a half. It was set up when someone came to evangelize this Cypriot town, this Cypriot city. And they've now got teachers and prophets, as we see in verse 1. And they also gather. In verse 2, we read, to worship the Lord. And they fast. And then the Holy Spirit says to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called you. So, God is acting by his Spirit in times of worship, prayer, and fasting.
The church are constantly wanting direction. The church are constantly needing guidance from God. And now they have ears open, ready to hear. They're listening. God speaks. So they hear God speak, but now their choice is to obey. I don't know about you, but when I get told to do something, sometimes I just blatantly don't want to do it. If you ask me, that's nice. But if you order me, I'm likely to go the other way. But this church, they've received instruction, the instruction they wanted from God, and now they have to obey. So God acts through humans in times of praying and fasting. And now we find in Acts 13 that the church do obey. They do follow what Jesus has advised them to do. They, after a time of fasting and prayer, this is verse 3, they place their hands on Saul and Barnabas and they send them off. They send them to Cyprus. And this sort of action, this laying on of hands, isn't some sort of empty gesture or a nice sentiment. It isn't like me coming up to Rupert and being like, there, there, it's okay. It's all right. You're a little bit wet still, aren't you? It's actually a symbolic gesture saying that the Holy Spirit is with you, is in you, that you are released to go and do the work that you've been called to do, and that you are divinely empowered for that work. So God is acting in sending them to Cyprus, divinely empowered to do God's work. And we also see God acting by his Spirit through teaching and speaking. In verse 1, we read of teachers and prophets leading the church in Antioch, Christian leaders who are showing the rest of the church how to follow Jesus, how to be a disciple or an apprentice. And then we also read when Barnabas and Saul get to Cyprus, verse 5, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. Here's your duck back. Don't worry. This is a pattern that Paul, and then he goes over to the Gentiles, the non-Jews or the Greeks, whatever word you want to use. Why? Because he's interested in unpacking these scriptures, the Old Testament as we have, or the Torah. And he wants to show, by unpacking it, that Jesus can be found on every page, in every story, in every prophecy. That this saving figure that they've been waiting for, that we've all been waiting for, was Jesus. He's come and he's achieved what the Bible says he was going to achieve. So, teaching and speaking, sending, times of prayer and fasting, and working through humans. God acts by his Spirit. I don't know if you can agree with me, but I think we can pretty much say that Paul and Barnabas at least believed that they were divinely empowered to go. They had a job to do, God had called them, and they were sent. They were sent by the church, and they were sent by God. Yes? Do we agree? Have I convinced you? Are you awake still? You with me? Yeah, just checking. My assumption is that when I believe God has called me to something, that it should be easy, that it should be smooth sailing, yeah? It should be good. Wrong, right? Acts 13, the first thing that they face is confrontation, opposition from this guy called Bar-Jesus, this Jewish sorcerer who is an advisor to Ireland. The first person they get opposition from that we know of is a Jew who all his life has been taught to anticipate this Messiah, this saving figure. And he's the one that opposes them. But does that mean that God doesn't work in the middle of confrontation? Does that mean that God can't act by his Spirit in the middle of opposition? No. We read that Paul, filled with the Spirit, looks directly at his opposition, at Bar Jesus, and says words which shut him up and actually blind him. I can't help it. I wasn't going to do it, but I love this bit that I found out. Do you want to geek out with me for a moment? Anybody here a self-declared nerd like me? Anybody? No. All right, just me. When I was reading this week, anybody know what Bar Jesus means? The name Bar Jesus. Go on, Tricia. You were here this morning. Son of Jesus. That doesn't mean he was the son of Jesus Christ, the guy we talk about every week in church. Jesus was a really common name back then. But Bar Jesus means son of Jesus. And Paul, who is having a confrontation with Bar Jesus, when he's filled with the Spirit, he looks at him and in verse 10 says, "You are the son of the devil." Now, I wouldn't recommend trying that with your boss at work or anything when they upset you. That would probably get you a bit of a disciplinary. But how clever. Paul, who has a great grasp of rhetoric technique, filled by the Spirit, says to this person who is supposed to embody the Son of Jesus, the Son of God who saves. That's what that name means, the Son of God who saves. It's not where it should be. You're not living the way that God intended. You've walked away from God. You're actually a son of the devil. Thanks for letting me geek out on you for a moment. God is acting in confrontation. He's still present. And he's also present in the lives of those who are intrigued by the gospel message, by the good news about Jesus. We read about Sergius Paulus, this proconsul, this senator or governor of Cyprus. And in the Bible, I'll read it to you. He was an intelligent man, Luke says. Sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. God was acting in this senator's life by making him intrigued, by making him want to hear about Jesus. And God was also acting through Paul and Barnabas, who go, proclaim, speak, and teach about Jesus. And through that, we can see at the final verse of our passage, when the proconsul saw what happened, he believed. He was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. He was amazed. God was working back then. And I believe, that's why I'm standing here today, that's why I'm training to be a vicar, that's why we purposefully encourage baptism. We encourage people to stand here and go, God can still act. God still has the power by his Spirit to transform lives. God still has the power to transform the world around us. But it's important that we know that we need to see it. We need to have eyes open to see it. I was studying with this guy called Glenn. He was my tutor, and he took me to Sheffield to a Christian... Sheffield's a great city, but the bedroom that I stayed in, I walked in to the bedroom. This is an aside, I didn't plan on saying this. Walked into the bedroom and was presented the bed I was supposed to sleep in, and there was dirty underwear on the pillow. And that's where I was supposed to sleep? No. Didn't do it, went to a travel lodge. All right, anyway, back to the point. Glenn had a speaking engagement that night. Quite a few people there, intrigued about hearing about Jesus. But at the end, the chair of the secular humanist society came up to Glenn and they engaged in an hour and a half long debate about the truth of his message or the falsehoods, science and religion, whatever other questions we can all think of in this room, probably came up. And an hour and a half later, I was desperate for my bed. And I was also a little bit sad. I was a little bit depressed because... is this the only thing that came out of this message, this good news message? A guy who was opposing everything, confrontational. The next day I was talking to Glenn and he pointed out that that wasn't the only thing that was happening. God was in that, he was working in that. But he also told me that there was three people who reacted in a positive way. One picked up a Bible and decided to take it home and read it for themselves. One signed up to go to church on Sunday because they were intrigued. They wanted to hear more. And that was a really great first step. But one, a Muslim girl actually, decided to say, no, I want to become an apprentice of Jesus, a follower, a disciple of Jesus. And she decided that was it. She made up her mind. But I didn't have eyes to see it. I was so focused on the opposition, the confrontation, trying to find God in that, that I missed where God was working. To finish off, my question to you is which one are you? Where are you on this scale? I believe, as I've said, that God can still act by his... Are you here for Rupert's baptism? Have you walked into church for the first time and perhaps it's freaked you out a little bit and you're never coming back? Perhaps you're intrigued. Perhaps there's something in this message, this Jesus message, this person that we go on about and you want to know more. Perhaps you're a regular member of this church and you come every week and you want to hear more. You're in a season of your life where you just need to dig into prayer, to worship, maybe to fast, maybe start something new. And you're like, I want to know where God is in my life. That's great. But I believe there are also people here who are sensing God acting on them by his Spirit to say, I am calling you to go. I am sending you, just like I sent Paul and Barnabas, maybe not to Cyprus. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? I'd go and preach the gospel in an all-inclusive two-week holiday in Cyprus, if anybody wants to pay for that. But maybe he's calling you to the chippy down the road. Or to the workplace. Or to your family. Maybe he's sending you. And yes, you will face opposition. You will face confrontation. But you will also meet people who are intrigued, who want to know more, who want to know how God can act by his Spirit today in our world, even with Brexit. Can I ask you all to stand if you're able? You to close your eyes just out of... being caring and sensitive to one another, because I'm not going to ask people to be brave. Are you one of those people who they're intrigued by this message and actually, I want to know more? Every eye in this room is shut. If that's you, I would love you to just raise your hand and we can pray for you in a minute. And perhaps there's some people here who feel like God is calling them, is sending them. And you want to know that you are divinely empowered for that work. If that's you, can I ask you, with every eye shut, to raise your hand? Thank you. You can lower your arms. God, who sees all our hearts, everything inside and out, sees our gestures as we raise our hand. Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you empower us to go into your world? And would you open each of our ears, our hearts, our lives to you that we might explore who you are more deeply, more fully, to not just cast you aside like Bar Jesus did, but to say, as Sergius Paulus, this senator did, I want to hear about God. Amen.